What's up, fanatics? Welcome to this week's Iowa Clinic Men's Center sponsored podcast at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams. Joined today on a Tuesday, it's very early afternoon, by Rob Gray. We did not do our Iowa Clinic Men's Center sponsored podcast on Monday morning as we normally do. That's because it was Big Monday and, you know, there was obviously a game. Rob and I knew that we would be at Hilton College to see him until the wee hours of, well, actually it was Tuesday morning when we left Hilton Coliseum, as you normally do on a 8 o'clock tip. So we're here on Tuesday. We'll have a podcast for you on Wednesday. And, of course, Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on Thursday. Got the podcast with Mark Charter Real Estate coming up later in the week. We will get you your fill of the podcast. First of all, shout out to Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. All right, Rob, what's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. Excellent. Got my cup of coffee here, ready to talk a little Cyclone basketball. Or Deflategate. Let's talk Deflategate for the next hour. How about that?
That'd be fantastic.
Do you have any idea how just pissed off everybody would be? I mean, they'd just be irate with us if we just talked Bill Belichick for the next hour.
Yeah, it's comical to some degree. I love the thing where he came out where he said, "I'm not a scientist." You know, and you hear that all the time. It's like from somebody on Congress talking about some certain issue.
Yeah.
But it's just you couldn't make this stuff up. I mean,
no.
it's really kind of like
interest
humor. Yeah. There's a person of interest.
He took balls into a bathroom. Jeez. All right. Anyways, Iowa State beat Texas last night, 89-86. That's good. You know, they did have a 21-point lead with 8 minutes to go, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your take on it? Is this a hey, you're just happy to win a game against a top 25 team that was picked to potentially dethrone the Kansas Jayhawks in the Texas Longhorns? Or are you a little bit like me and still on the, boy, you just can't trust these guys, bandwagon? That's where I'm at. I wrote that on Sunday. I had an entire column written last night with about 5 minutes to go on turning the page, and they, you know, business-like win for the Cyclones. And I'll be honest, I think that I give Texas more credit for that comeback mm-hmm. than I do shaming Iowa State. But in the same boat, boy, you don't like giving up that lead. You know, how do you interpret what happened at the end of that game?
Well, I think Texas is here's the way I saw it. Texas smartly was fouling like crazy, starting to foul like crazy, you know, shortly after that lead had ballooned to 21. Iowa State shoots 35 second-half free throws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Texas hadn't allowed a team to shoot more than 31 in a game, I think, going in. And they make 25, which is not a good percentage, but it's
71.
Yeah, it's kind of average. But every miss was magnified, and it seemed like Texas drew juice from every single miss, too, because they were, as Hoiberg said after the game, no matter what happened, if they were hugged up around the three-point line, then they'd find a way to boom get to the hoop, like Taylor or Felix was incredible.
Felix was unbelievable.
I mean, 60. It seemed like he had 30 in the second half.
He kills Iowa State every time they play there.
Yeah, something about
and
that.
And he's not that good. But every time he plays Iowa State, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. But so Texas, I mean, let's look at it this way. It was like the antithesis of the Iowa State's game at Texas Tech. Granted, these are two good teams playing versus a not good team against a good team. But, you know, you race out, you get the great start. I mean, something's got to give a little bit with the team that would, you know, say what you want about Rick Martin's teams, but they've always got moxie. They've always mm-hmm. got resolve and grit. And you knew they were going to hit shots at some point. That was good defense in the first half that held Texas to, I think it was about 33% shooting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was also Texas missing a lot of easy shots. Miles Turner deciding when it looked like he could score at will inside to take it to the three-point line and miss a couple. I mean, they were just out of sorts a little bit, too, and Iowa State had something to do with that. But I think you have to, given what happened, and like George Niang said, you've got to take the win period as a positive, but still be concerned that you let a team back in. I mean, when it looked like you'd finally shown, hey, we've got that killer instinct.
Yeah.
They had to really, really had to hang on there at the end as Texas mounted that big surge.
I'm anxious to see how these guys respond on Saturday against a, you know, lower tier.
Plucky. They're TCU plucky, though. TCU is plucky.
They are. And, you know, I'm anxious to see how Iowa State responds, though, because they got the win. It comes back to the Niang quote from Sunday after, you know, they had digested what had happened at Texas Tech. I believe I read in your report at CycloneFanatic.com that Niang said something like, we need to start looking ourselves in the mirror after wins. Yeah. And not losses. This is the best of both worlds. This reminds me of Bill Finnelly's team when they committed 21 turnovers against Kansas State earlier in the year and still won the basketball game. Now you can learn from a win, and it's a, you know, it's a better scenario. So this team, I think, there's a perception out there that the Cyclones play to their level of competition quite a bit. Are they going to do that on Saturday, 1 o'clock, sleepy 1 o'clock start in Hilton Coliseum against a pretty average TCU team? So I'm excited to see how they respond to this scenario now, because it was easy to get up for Texas.
Yeah,
big Mondays here, you know. This is a top 25 team, you know. Saturday I think is intriguing. They'll win the basketball game. They should. I thought they would beat Texas Tech, but this team to me is still bipolar, and we saw it again last night. And again, I think a lot of that was circumstantial. I think Texas, a lot of those shots Texas was hitting, as Fred Hoiberg pointed out, were just insane.
Yes.
At the end of that basketball game, it was just insanity, some of those shots they were hitting. But, you know, Iowa State still had something to do with it. They just lost their minds on a couple of those possessions at the end of the game, which really allowed, and Texas took advantage of that, which you know, got it back within 5-6 points. I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle. I still don't trust these guys. I still think that they're learning how to focus. I don't even think learning how to win. They know how to win.
Yeah.
They've closed out. I mean, their Big 12 wins have all been 6 points or less.
Yeah.
Right? So they clearly know how to win games at crunch time. But I still think they're learning how to focus collectively as a team.
No, I think that's completely fair. I think they're and I get the trust thing. When you look at that Texas Tech game, if you're a good basketball, if you're a team with conference title aspirations and you profess to have national championship aspirations, you don't give up a 20-1 run against anybody. Or it's so rare that it's against another top 10 team.
But you've seen it a couple times
and
now.
Then Baylor, who's solid, you know, talk about punching the mouth, 18-1 out of the gate. That just screams guys aren't ready to play.
Yeah, I would venture to ask you, how many times has Kansas given up a 20-1 run in its 10-year reign as Big 12 champ?
Whew, I can't imagine.
I'm sure it's happened, but not very often.
I've seen them mount a lot of 25-1 runs on teams. It would have to be a handful of times. Mm-hmm. I know, that shocking loss at TCU, a couple years back.
Yeah. And that was one of the worst teams in Big 12 history.
Yeah, that's why. And then
modern day Big 12.
They rebounded. I get the trust thing, but I also think there are, you know, some kind of under the radar positives in that game too. Bryce DeJohn Jones was
absolutely
very good. He
that's
was not great at
next,
Tech,
yeah.
But you know, again, 7 shots, 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
7-11 from the line. Okay, middling. That's kind of where he was historically. He started out this season on fire from the free throw line, and it looked like, oh my gosh, how does this guy go from a, you know, middle to, you know, utterly mediocre free throw shooter to an 88% free throw shooter? Well, he's kind of come back down to earth, but nonetheless, he's doing those little things. He got him going early by getting off one of his short, you know, mid-range jumpers. Had an assist early, I believe, to Hogue, and maybe another one in there early, another assist in there early. So he's coming out with the right level of energy. As Fred said after the game, I mean, his energy, he just loved his energy throughout the game.
Only 6 turnovers last night for the Cyclones. Matt Thomas had a couple of those. One of them was really bad. It was an unforced one. He only played 5 minutes.
Yep.
McKay had a couple where I think he got a little bit antsy trying to attack the rim.
Mm-hmm.
He and Miles Turner were kind of going at each other there for a while. Bryce DeJohn Jones, a big-time positive last night. The fact that you had he and George Niang lead you in scoring is huge. If that's the best-case scenario for Iowa State going forward. Those two guys are your top scorers you're going to win more basketball games if those guys are doing that. Because the rest of these guys are more auxiliary-type players. I mean, a Dustin Hogue, you don't want to be your featured guy.
Yeah.
Monte Morris is your facilitator. Naz Long is your, you know, your marksman. He's not a featured guy.
Yep.
BDJ and Niang are who you want to be those guys for you going forward. And the fact that they were both struggling, I was asked on Murph and Andy on Monday – who I thought was struggling the most for Iowa State during Big 12 play. I said George Niang first, just because I think of the expectations. He's a Big 12 Player of the Year caliber guy. Mm-hmm. He was averaging like 12.5 points heading into yesterday. He's better than that.
Yeah.
And he hadn't been playing like that lately. And shortly behind him was Bryce Dejon Jones. Now, I think Bryce is actually, as you wrote last week, he's doing little things way better than most fans appreciate.
Yeah.
As far as attacking the glass, defensively, all those things. But he's still – you can't deny, first, I think, 9 games of the season in double figures 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Second 9 games, 2 times.
Yeah.
That's a – you know, that's a problem. Clearly, there's something going on with him offensively. To see both of those guys click at the same time was a very good sign for the Cyclones.
Well, yeah, and it takes you back to early in the season where they looked like a team that was completely living up to the hype, even against some fairly tough competition, Georgia States and Arkansas. I mean, those guys were filling it up. And I think the question we were asking and others were, I mean, which guy's going to become the premier go-to guy between those two? And if they can alternate, you've got a team that – as you mentioned, with those auxiliary or supplemental guys, mm-hmm. who can be big boosts on occasion, but aren't your consistent scorers based on their skill sets. You know, that's what we got back to. I mean, allowing the huge Texas comeback last night. That's a very positive sign. And Dejon Jones, I think he's. Tied for the team leader, led the team in offensive rebounds 3 of the last 4 games. That's huge, too. I mean, it tells me that he's doing – in a couple games, he's gotten – last night even, two fairly early fouls. He rebounded from that in this game, not in the previous game that happened so well. So, yeah, nothing but positives in terms of what those guys did to score. I don't think George had scored as many as 19 points in something like December 4th, or
probably
something.
The Arkansas game.
Yeah, yeah, at 26, I think.
Monte Morris had 6 assists, 0 turnovers. I like Iowa State's 20 assists to 29 field goals. That was really lacking at Texas Tech.
Yes.
And obviously, when you're not making as many shots, you're not going to have as many assists. But I mean, the correlation, though, like as far as spacing and ball movement and that type of stuff goes, it's crazy when you look at that assist per field goals. In Iowa State's wins and losses, when they're moving the ball like that, and you saw multiple possessions last night, I thought, where they made that extra pass. I thought a couple times they even made the extra pass.
Yep.
That may have haunted them, but
mm-hmm.
clearly that was a deal in that angry late night film session or whatever they had.
Yeah.
They were talking, you know, the guys were really wanting to get back to it. That's what a hoy ball is, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we've tabbed as hoy ball? Making that extra pass, doing the extra things. I thought last night we saw them really get back on that.
Absolutely. And I think teams are – I mean, it's funny because Barnes said after the game, if they hadn't played that zone, which the Cyclones pretty much decimated,
yes.
In the first half, he didn't know if they would have had enough energy left at the end of the game to make that run. So because of the – he just said the – what did he say? The pace the Cyclones play at is wicked,
yeah,
something like
wicked,
that.
Wicked, that's how he described it,
so,
yeah.
So, I mean, but the Cyclones have shown, you know, after that horrendous start at Baylor – zones, you know, deploy those zone defenses against them at their peril, particularly when George is able to get right there in the middle, just below the free throw line, facilitate or finish with the baby hooks and everything else. I mean, he was a master at that last night. And, you know,
it had completely disappeared during that stretch that you're talking about, as far as George is getting on the block.
Yeah.
Doing his thing.
Well, you mean the comeback when Texas came back, or
no? I'm saying like in the games previous to
last night.
When Niang was struggling, he wasn't getting those type of possessions.
Yeah, and I think part of that was the fact that this was a zone. So of course there's a little bit of a gap there if you can get there and fill it before the mm-hmm. the guys come up. I mean, when he's getting guarded by taller guys or longer guys at any rate, and they're of course going to constantly then double team him as he comes in too. That changes the way that flows. So it's just kind of interesting to think of a team that's known as shooters, 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 and we know they're not shooting it at a tremendous rate from three-point range this year. They were pretty solid last night, particularly in the first half, 4 of 8. But
yeah, they were 6 of 14.
Yeah.
43%.
So, yeah, very solid. But that they can find a way to do it. I was, frankly, very concerned, A, with Texas playing zone like that and being able to pack it in with that size and length, as George said after the game. It's like an NBA lineup based on that aspect alone. And they got in and they scored and they challenged them. I mean, Monty Morris took it to Holmes, I believe, once, got an and one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they there was a real chip on their shoulder. And it's quite obvious that the Cyclones play by far their best basketball when a chip's on their shoulder, whether it should be there or not. And it should have been there Monday night, obviously, after Saturday.
And that's why I think Saturday's intriguing, just because they got to find a way to still have that chip with TCU coming to town, a 1 o'clock start. This is classic letdown mode.
Yeah.
For this team so far.
Yeah.
You know, this is a classic game that they wouldn't show up for.
Yeah.
So what will they? Why have they actually learned from their mistakes? I don't believe it. They need to prove it to me. I think they come out and struggle in the first half against TCU, and then they'll snap out of it, and they'll end up winning by 12 points or so. Until they prove me wrong, I think they're going to continue to do this because we saw it again last night. Get a big lead. Get a little comfortable. It was all business-like until they got up by 20, and then you saw a little bit of showboat and a little bit of that, and Texas storms back. This team has to stay focused. They're not good enough to just show up.
Yeah.
Am I going too far with this?
No, and I appreciated your column on the trust issue. I think it was spot on. But I think they've – look, if they haven't gotten that message by now, because every single game that they struggled Maryland, it was George saying, well, we think our you-know-what doesn't stink. Loss, it's this, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, how many times can we hear the same quotes? You even heard it last night.
Yeah. So
you know?
Yeah, so the point is if they don't show that they can do it against a lesser TCU team, a team with some talent. I mean, you got Anderson down there. I mean, he can.
There's talent on that team.
Yeah, he can. And they get to the free throw line. So that'll be interesting to see if guys get in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got to rotate in for a few extra minutes? But I think the message has been received. I mean, we'll know a lot about what Iowa State's real ceiling is based on how they play. I mean, if they, again, look – I believe Morris said to reporters at the game in Lubbock, lackadaisical was the word that he brought out. Well, if there's any hint of being lackadaisical in that game, given what it means, I mean, you get that win, you get it convincingly, you feel good about yourself, and you're 6-2 in the league heading into Big Monday at Lawrence. I mean, you're squarely right back into that equation. I mean, it's the you control your own destiny in terms of upsetting Kansas and in that league race.
I stand by my prediction, by the way, that Iowa State will win next Monday in Lawrence.
You do?
Yeah, I'm standing. Absolutely. And I thought that after they lost to Texas Tech. Has nothing to do with what we saw last night.
Matchups?
Yeah, and these guys, it has everything to do with not trusting them. Hmm. They'll be up for that game.
Yeah.
And if they're up, listen, look at every game this year. I think the one game they truly got beat was Maryland.
Maryland, yeah.
Maryland's a damn good basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we all knew it at the time.
Yep.
They're good. They beat Iowa State. But the rest of these games, if Iowa State's up, they're damn hard to beat, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're a better basketball team, pound for pound, position by position, than Kansas. And I don't think that there's this big gap between Bill Self and Fred Hoiberg. I think Bill Self is – clearly Kansas has had talent over the last 10 years, but he's – you know – he's a chess master, man. Hoiberg's right up there with him, X's and O's. Fred will have a great game plan. Those guys are going to win in Kansas.
I'm a little bit more skeptical. It's funny because I think I trust the team a little bit more than you do based on that thing. But
Allen
Fieldhouse is –
these guys, they're bipolar, Rob.
That's such an edge for Kansas. And given
how well
Iowa State played against KU – and still only won by 5 at Hilton.
They are going to have – you remember their attitude at Iowa?
Yeah.
That's the attitude this team will have on Monday going into Allen Fieldhouse. You mark my – I'm so confident about this.
I certainly hope you're right. I mean, I'm planning on heading down and covering that game, and it's a lot more fun, I guess, talking to people who that you cover that feel good about themselves. I mean, I think it's certainly very possible. And I tend to agree that – I think pound for pound, there's more talent in terms of Not in terms of McDonald's
talent.
All-American. Yeah. But in terms of what guys have shown in
game
production.
Game talent right now.
Yeah, and inconsistency at times.
I'm telling you, man. I feel it.
You know what? You've convinced me. They got it. It's in the bag.
And I like this guy. I think I'm probably higher on Kansas than most.
Yeah, I think Kansas is very good, but I mean, I would say this too. I mean, no, you haven't convinced me. I mean, I still think Kansas probably finds a way, but I think the Cyclones will play.
They're going to win at Kansas,
well there.
And then they're going to lose at home to like West Virginia or something weird's going to happen.
Oklahoma.
I'm telling you,
yeah,
Oklahoma. That's a scary matchup for Iowa State. I thought that the whole year. I thought Texas was too, but clearly Iowa State. You know, that game wasn't as close as the score indicated, I thought, last night. I mean, if you take the game as a whole, Iowa State really stuck it to them. But I give Texas all the credit in the world. They hit some amazing shots at the end. I don't know. I've had a feeling about this Lawrence game. I've covered the last, like, 3-4 years down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a different level of focus and energy when Iowa State steps into that arena. They've given a couple of those games away. The McLemore 3. Dude, Niang's going to have those guys. I kind of like it. Maybe it's not fair, but I feel like if George were sitting here with us right now, he would actually take responsibility. I feel like I'm kind of putting Texas Tech on George and Naz because I look to those guys to be Iowa State's leaders.
Yeah.
And I feel like you made a great point as we were having dinner last night about DeAndre Kane, about how this team lacks a guy who – you know, when he barks, these dudes respond, right?
Yep.
And I feel like your leaders are responsible at some point. Like, the coach has got to have you ready to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, internal motivation, you've got to have leaders within the locker room to get guys focused. And they clearly weren't at Texas Tech. I know, like, how painful those losses in Allen Fieldhouse have been to Niang, much like the Iowa game. Two years ago when they lost over in Iowa City, they will be ready to roll. But
that's a good point because there's no question that George and Naz are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that, you know, butt-kicking leader that DeAndre Kane was. I mean, you started to see more vocalization. You started to see it even pre-Texas Tech, particularly from Naz. George better have credibility with everybody on that team, given what he's done throughout the course of his career. And as long as those guys are vocal, as long as they make sure, because George has taken accountability for every loss,
mm-hmm.
frankly. He's sort of said, that's me, whether it be a turnover here.
Rick Barnes certainly loves him.
Yeah, that was quite a – I'm trying to figure out where he went out to eat, and there was probably two or three people hanging out going, Niang turns the ball over too much.
I was thinking about this too. So don't the away teams usually stay out at the Hilton Garden Inn? Or it's the place out by the Perfect Games Bowling Alley.
Okay.
Whatever hotel that is. It's right out by the Sukup.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that Rick Barnes went to the Westtown Pub. I was really straining my brain trying, where would Rick Barnes go and have dinner in Ames? He's not going to go to Hickory Park.
Yeah.
He's not going to go across town.
Yeah, that's true.
The only place that makes sense is that Rick Barnes was sitting at the Westtown Pub and he overheard some Cyclone fans bashing George Niang at the bar.
We've seen it on Twitter too. I mean, there are some people that are completely hating on George's game this year, and hey,
our sales director wanted him benched a couple weeks ago.
I mean, based on the high standard that he's established in his first two seasons, there have been a few games that have certainly been disappointing. But I think part of it, you know, they've had to adjust a number of times this year. They had to adjust when McKay got into the lineup, and that was a bigger adjustment, I think, than people think.
Greenberg nailed that, by the way.
Yeah, he did. But McKay was an instant upgrade, but everyone's role shifted a little bit, and the spacing was different. And even as fast as McKay is in transition, you think, immediately we're better in transition. Well, guys are in different spots in transition too. And so whatever rhythm was established, snap pass here, is shifted up a little bit. I think they fully acclimated to McKay's, obviously hugely beneficial addition. We'll see the George Niang that everyone expected to see. Look, he's on all these watch lists midseason. I mean, everyone who watches him, every commentator says he's a star flat out. They're aware of the stats that he had in a few games. I just couldn't get how a guy – plus he's the persona, like Rick Barnes said, that he has and has shown the first two seasons as a guy. How could you start hating on a guy when he has a couple of subpar games? I didn't get that. But, hey, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But that surprised me kind of as much as it surprised Rick Barnes, I think.
All right, let's look at Big 12 games tonight. All right?
Sure.
West Virginia is at Kansas State. Kansas State's a one-point favorite in that one. I like Kansas State.
Buckle up for that one.
Yeah, I like
headgear and.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like UFC fight. No, I like Kansas State in that one in the Octagon of Doom.
Yeah, I do. I do too.
Are you sure? Because you hated Kansas State.
I think it'll be a heck of a game. I didn't hate them. I thought it could be a bubble team. I still kind of think that's what they've got. But they've shown a lot. I mean, they are tied with Iowa State at 5-2 in the league.
Yep.
And
I like
just about
team.
Stole one in Hilton. I mean, they're tough. I mean, what a great – it might be a 3.5-hour game, but what a great bruising kind of game that's going to be there at the Octagon.
6 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. Over on ESPN News, Oklahoma State is a 3.5-point favorite over Baylor. That's an interesting game, a couple contrasting styles. Travis Ford versus Scott Drew always makes for interesting basketball.
Yeah, it's,
I don't really have a good feel for that.
Yeah, you hear these matchups, and I feel like I don't have a good feel for any of them half the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Baylor seems to – and I've liked Baylor since the beginning. I mean, I don't have the – well, I've liked Baylor since the beginning to be a solid Big 12 team. In Oklahoma State, we thought, you know, when they played the Cyclones as tough as they did, were there. They're kind of teetering a little bit there. They kind of need a win big time if they want to feel like they're firmly ensconced in the NCAA tournament discussion.
Yeah.
But I still, I think I like Baylor to go in there and get them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I don't have a – I could see that one going either way. I'll go with you. I'll take the Bears. Tomorrow night, Texas Tech is at Oklahoma and Kansas is at TCU. Let's talk quickly about football, Rob, as before we wrap this thing up. Be a fairly shorter pie. We're not going to go an hour today, but – the Iowa State got a commitment last night, running back. Now, amongst all the negative news, this was actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Joshua Thomas, he's a 3-star running back who picked Iowa State over Wisconsin?
Yeah, that's something.
What the hell?
Yeah, and I must, before I opine about Mr. Thomas, I must offer a little apology as I tried to get something up after he tweeted it a minute before tip. It seemed
you
like
got the raw on Josh.
I threw
Thomas.
Another guy in. I just looked up the profile and it was just a dumb.
How could you do that? I mean, Josh Thomas fart. Is such a weird name. Like, it's not a normal. It's not a common name.
That's
Josh
true.
And
there's
Thomas.
Nobody named that. Like, nobody who's played in the NFL or anything like that either.
Yeah.
So, but no, I just want to say I apologize. Sometimes you get rushed and you throw stuff up there.
Well,
I immediately had a red flag. I was like, wait a minute, this offer list looks bizarre. But I'm like, oh, it's going to tip in a minute. Okay, just post
it. It's a terrible time for that young man to commit. How dare he do it right before
right
Big,
on Big Monday?
Monday.
I appreciate the Fanatics, bringing it to my attention, though, because I had turned my attention to basketball, even though that nagging thought was in the back of my mind. Really, Western Kentucky is that right? But nonetheless, yeah, like you said, he took a visit to Wisconsin. Look, you want to talk about a team that's produced tremendous pro running backs.
Yeah.
I mean, running back U. I mean, there are a number of running back U's, but Wisconsin's definitely one of the front runners there. And I got to think, I mean, do they redshirt the guy?
No.
I got to think one of the pitches is you're going to play and you're going to be featured at times.
They were going to in my opinion, play Ozigbo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, this guy kind of just steps in and takes that spot.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that's huge to get that guy after. You go and visit.
This guy chose Iowa State over Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Mississippi State. There's no way he's redshirting.
Yep, and tons of other offers. Yeah, that means why does he choose Iowa
why
State?
Why in the hell is
school?
He coming? Because
he's going to play, yeah.
And he wants to play. And that's – like, if you're Paul Rhodes, that's what you're pitching right now. You can come in here and you can play right away. That's the number one pitch for Iowa State.
Absolutely. And I liked – and what does it say about a kid, too, that he could just say, you know what, I mean, I could – I want to be part of a national championship program, Ohio State. But he's thinking, I want to make my mark. I want to do it immediately. I want to get out there and play the game. And they've talked for a year, you know, in the midst of the losing for the last couple seasons, guys just trying to focus on the fun of the game. And it's been hard to do, obviously, with tough losses, close losses, blowout losses. I mean, you name them. This guy seems to be in it for the fun of the game, you know, not glory necessarily at this point, you know, in terms of, hey, everyone thinks this about my team, but how much fun can I have? How much can I get in there and contribute immediately?
6 foot, 202 pounds is Joshua Thomas.
That's a nice size coming out of high school.
They got to be they're about done recruiting, I think. They've got to be. Because this was going to be a small class anyway.
Yeah.
Now, granted, bunch of scholarships have opened up. But I still think that they're probably about done based off of my calculations. It's still going to be a decent class. Now, granted, you would have liked to have a couple of those guys who clearly aren't going to sign with Iowa State. But I think a lot of the focus has been on keeping these guys.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, you know, with basketball being as hot as it is, signing day is like a week away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost exactly a week away, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fourth. It's,
yeah.
This Thomas, I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, when you look at, you know, Ozigbo, like you said, I mean, that's
Yeah, and it's just because it's not getting the pub, and I get it. I mean, I don't know if fans are apathetic at this point or what. You just had so much bad news, just a flood of bad news, bad, bad, bad. This is actually a nice little coup for Iowa State.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a guy who just visited Wisconsin to say, you know what, I want to come and play for you. I want to go make my mark immediately. I don't think coup is too strong a word there for sure.
Just quickly, let's touch on the news from late last week. PJ Harris, he got in a problem with the law, but he had already been kicked off the team.
Yeah.
Okay. But then these other guys left. To me, the one that really the Mutcherson deal, I kind of thought he would probably get kicked off or not be with the program just based off of the language coming out of Rhodes at the end of the year. And there was the one time, I think Paul's been on the record on it, it didn't sound real. It was the signing day for the JUCOs.
Yeah.
It didn't sound too encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Harris, you know, like at wide receiver. Here's the deal at wide receiver, though. It's like it's been a position of depth. But you lose Harris, you lose Damian Lowry.
Yeah.
It's like, will it be deep for you? You know, Juwan Wesley's got a law thing lingering at this point. This is the same problem Iowa State always gets into.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you got a thing set up where it's like, oh, you're going to be deep. And then you end up losing half your guys. And they just got to keep – it's just frustrating.
Yeah, well,
it's very, 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 very frustrating.
I'll go glass half full here.
Okay,
though.
Go glass half full, Rob.
Because I'm that type of guy.
Yeah.
Glazed carrots and all.
Yeah.
some guy called me after having a turkey sandwich, said it wasn't man food.
Let's back this up for somebody who may not have seen that on Twitter. Rob and I went to Hickory Park before the game on Monday night. I've never seen this before in 30 years of life. Rob ordered glazed carrots with his sandwich. Hickory Park, why would you not opt for the mashed potatoes?
We already had the cheese balls. Now, look, I eat at Hickory Park more often than you do. My kids love it, particularly my son. He gets the kids' cheeseburger. He loves the cheese balls. We do that up quite frequently.
He sounds like my kind of guy.
Well, he's a lot much more of a man than I am, 6 years old.
Apparently.
But
he doesn't get glazed carrots.
No, or sardines. But, a guy called me out for turkey, said it wasn't man food. I don't know. I think meat and poultry is still man food, and it doesn't have to be ground beef, which I partake of quite frequently myself, and steak. But it's a little stung there. Not really, but I get his point, and I think he was being humorous, and it was humorous. But as mentioning glazed carrots and half full, that's what glazed carrots make you feel like. And Bundridge, healthy. He's been saying and doing the right things on Twitter, in person, everything else. Look, he's a game changer. We know that. We saw what Lazard did, what Montgomery emerged. It became a guy who can be a go-to guy.
Yeah.
You've got that core. And then if Brett Metters is healthy, I mean, you've got other guys. Wesley, he'll be there unless something else happens. You've got a lot of good guys. And really, how many – sometimes, you know, the whole idea is who's going to get what balls? How many – how do we distribute this? Well, when you've got a front line of Bundridge, Montgomery, and Lazard, and I don't know how it messes things up when you want a shifty guy like you had Jarvis West in the slot when he was healthy. But, I mean, I'd feel pretty good about that. I mean, yeah, I mean – P.J. Harris has shown potential, but he missed almost all of last season, and he did what he did.
Yeah.
And apparently – and had been kicked off before. They just hadn't announced it. You know, and Lowry hadn't contributed at all, although I know they liked him as an athlete from the very beginning. So, I don't know. I think you focus on what you have in this case. And what you have are three potential all Big 12 first-team guys lining up a wide receiver.
Until one of them gets hurt.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just the thing with all this. The thing with all of this is I just feel like it's deja vu. I mean, it's just like every year for Iowa State football, and it's not just Paul Rose. I'm going back 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When things start going south.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at all
one
your
thing after another,
skill guys, and you know what I'm saying. In the defense, it's like, well, you know, all those guys should have gotten better. Oh, but there goes T.J. Munchison. And we have no idea what's going on with Devlin Cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? So then you're starting over and you're young again. It just is – it's frustrating.
No, I mean, I completely agree with that. But I don't know. I guess I'd be a lot more concerned if you started to see guys on the O-line and D-line – all of a sudden up and leaving or getting kicked off the team. Like you said, Cousins' situation is up in the air.
Yeah.
But, you know, skill guys, you know, there's a reason that they're not always, unless they're so dynamic that you can't pass them up, they're not drafted until the second or third round. Some guys who put up huge numbers in college and when it comes to the NFL draft. I mean, you can fill in. I mean, you can fill in with walk-ons. Brent Meadows was productive.
Yeah, Brent Meadows will be back.
And he'll be there. I mean, you can plug some. I mean, think about Justin Coleman, how he was a goat. I mean, he was not a big play. He was a clutch play guy at times in a couple of those games the previous year. So
they won three games.
Three and two. But I hear you, though. When things
– you're trying to be positive. I appreciate that. I just don't trust their line. Like, I really – I think their skill guys will be fine next year. But, like, their line wasn't very good last year, and now you're going to take Tom Farniok away, and they're going to try and convince me that this line's going to be Big 12 quality. I mean, I'm sorry. Now, Campos, I think, is a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Burton's a dude.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of those guys, like, I think a healthy Brock Daigle is a very capable tackle in the Big 12.
Oh, and he showed some things.
Not sold there, but I think he's a contributor.
Yeah, I'm not sold either, but I mean, you've got some guys that, and again, this was coming into this season too. Farniok's the rock, got some experience for other guys, and how's it going to be? Well, it wasn't great, as we know, to put it mildly. But
they need if they can get the Tyese kid ready to play some, and the Scoggins kid is worth a damn.
Yep,
that'd be huge.
Yeah, I mean it's been a while since that line has been – and did show flashes. There were a couple games last season where they were opening holes and guys were getting fixed 5-7 yard runs constantly. Yeah. Well, that's how the offense was. I mean, it was so hot and cold.
Yeah.
You know, but boom, here they're scoring 4 straight on Kansas State and then they're doing nothing else. But I don't know. You're right. I mean, they do – that line needs to show market improvement. And based on the paper, based on what we see on paper, it's pretty hard to see that happening at this point, unless some of those guys, like you said, Tyese, you know, Brock Daigle's healthy, you know, the Scoggins kid contributes. Unless that happens, it's hard to see fast improvement there.
Rob, it's been fun.
Yeah, it has. And I'm glad I got to explain my gaff and talk a little bit about glazed carrots.
I don't think you need to worry about the Josh Thomas thing.
Got you.
I don't think people – I think people understand. It's a common name.
You think they understand that they're not always perfect in their line of work too? And we all make mistakes kind of thing?
Man, you must have really gotten beat up on Twitter.
People were very understanding.
That's good. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, we've got – we've got again, I plan to do a podcast tomorrow. I guess it's a little bit up in the air, but that's the plan. But on Thursday, we will have the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, 6 to 7 on KXNO. Friday, the Fawcast with Mark Charter Real Estate. Lots coming up. We'll preview Iowa State, TCU. Bloom's got a column coming up later in the week. I'm sure Kirk Holland will have some good stuff for you. So, yeah. And then, Rob, you're going to Lawrence next week. I can't go because Baby Williams could be making an appearance into this world at any point in time.
Yeah.
I refuse to be away as my wife just basically lies there waiting.
Exciting times, and yes, that's exactly the right approach for you.
Yeah. So I appreciate you going and covering for me.
Oh, it'll be my pleasure. First time there. I've gone to a lot of great venues, but first time there.
Other than Hilton, and I'm obviously biased towards Hilton Coliseum, but that's my favorite sports venue I've ever been to.
Really? Yeah, outside football included?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something about a basketball arena that, you know, football, no matter how big it is, no matter how wild and electric it is, just you're enclosed. It gets that loud.
I appreciate Fog Allen just because it's like an old school arena.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Dayton one. You know, when I was you covered the Dayton. And no, you weren't there.
No, they didn't send me out on the road. I think Mike Colas got to do that.
Colas was there. Yeah.
He got to enjoy Dayton, which I know was a real treat to everyone.
You know what? Like, Dayton sucked.
Yeah.
But the arena was cool, I thought. It was, like, old, you know, like it. And that's kind of the feeling you get when you walk into Fog Allen. You walk in, you're kind of like, what? And there's, like, benches, and it's not, you know, it's not a modern-day arena, but that's the glory of it.
Wilt Chamberlain memories.
Yeah, it's cool. You'll really enjoy it. So travel safely. I don't know if we probably won't do a podcast on Monday morning because you'll probably be on your way, won't you? Maybe we can do one before you leave.
We might be able to squeeze one out.
Let's try and squeeze
a big Monday.
Yeah, let's try and squeeze one before you leave.
Yeah.
On Monday morning. We'll get Jared down here and it'll be a good time. All right?
Absolutely.
All right. He's Rob Gray. I'm Chris Williams. The Iowa Clinic Men's Center podcast, iamenscenter.com. Thanks for tuning in. Have an outstanding Tuesday, everybody.